Father, we thank you in Jesus' name for the wonderful rain that you've given us in the month of May. And Lord, we do everything big in Texas, and you certainly did. And we're thankful that we're out of the drought. And Lord, thank you for the sun beginning to shine, and let us dry out as we pray for the flood victims, Lord, and those that have lost their homes. We continually lift them up as well. And Father, we also pray for Erlina this morning. That's been in the hospital all week, just touching her and just helping her, Lord, and bringing healing to her body. We thank you for the I Am Terrell Kids Church today, that many children would come to Christ. And Lord, this morning, I look only to you. I look only to the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God. And it is my sincere and earnest prayer, my humble prayer, O Father, as you look upon us that you have cleansed with the blood of your Son, that every ear and every heart be opened this morning to the summer series, Lord, that you have given me. And I pray that Lord, only you can do a work in the midst of us, and it is desperately needed. We look to you now in Jesus' name, and the church says, amen. Let's turn our Bibles this morning to Psalm 86, and I'll be there in about 35 minutes, and that really is the truth. But I want you to get there early. Psalm 86, and I will only read here a couple of scriptures. But this wonderful prayer of David, he says, bow down your ear, O Lord, hear me. I am poor and needy. Preserve my life, for I am holy. You are my God. Save your servant who trusts in you. Be merciful to me, O God. For I cry to you all day long. Rejoice in the soul of your servant. For to you, O God, I lift up my soul. You know, this morning is, you know, we teach line by line, verse by verse here at Calvary Chapel, something that I'm very fond of. And we just finished the Gospel of Luke. We spent 60 Sundays there with Luke, and it has been a wonderful study. We're going to take a break from line on line for just a little while, maybe 2 months or maybe only a month, however the Lord leads, and then we will begin the book of Acts. But this morning, on this series, the summer series that the Lord is giving me, I pray that your heart, again, is very, very open. You know, I was thinking about how do I open up and do an introduction this morning? How do I even begin to start? As I'm going to be talking about defining illusion. Say that word with me. Illusion. A very important word for Calvary Chapel and for all Christians, I believe. You know, I remember years ago, many, many, many years ago, there at Calvary Chapel, Las Vegas, my wife and I, as we, growing in the Lord, growing up and not knowing that God was one day going to use us and call us into the ministry, but didn't have a clue as to what to do or anything. The church started out in a mortuary, believe it or not, and then we moved from the mortuary to a pornographic house on the Las Vegas Strip, believe it or not. And it was there that it was the moving of God was so unbelievable. I mean, I saw my pastor, his name was Pat, Pastor Pat. He could literally walk out, stop the praise and worship, and walk out, and God would use him, and people would come to the altar and be saved. Not even hear a sermon. And there was sometimes there were hundreds of people that would come to the altar. And then there were times when we would all just bow down and worship the Lord on our knees. And there was such an incredible holiness and a move of God that was so wonderful, that is so lacking in the midst of the church today. And you know, there they would lock the doors. Today, people couldn't handle that. In other words, if you were late for worship, if you didn't show up right on time, the doors were locked. You either sat outside in the lobby or you went to the overflow room, you know, with the rest of the sissies. You understand? And when we came in, we didn't talk. It was a holiness. It was a quietness. And we had no colored lights. We didn't have any smoke machines. And you know what? We didn't have anything with anything that had printed words on a screen or any of that. You learn the songs by heart. You never knew if we were going to worship 30 minutes or 45 minutes. There was no time. There was no, it was the Holy Spirit that was leading everything. You following me? Today, the church is no longer about Jesus. Becky and we were talking this morning, and that was such a true word, she said. It's no longer about God. It's about the church today is about what God can do for me. Come on now. Oh, I'm going to miss this summer series. It's the church. It's no longer about I'm coming because Jesus is. There's a miracle going on. There's a power of God that's moving. And it's no longer about him, but it's about what the church can do for me. And the church must satisfy my fleshly needs. And they must provide everything I want, or I'll find a place that does. And if they don't agree with me, I'll find another place that does. That's where we are. I'm talking this morning about defining illusion. This has been a process for me. Slowly over the last 5 years, I've been wondering about my ministry, my calling, about what in the world are we doing, and all the things and that we have to do today in order to for people to be happy. And I finally said, Lord, what is it? What is it? What is it? And you know, I started finally the Lord moving in my heart as we took a little time off here and a few days. And you know, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 8:5, it says, a wise man's heart, his inner man, his heart, not his mind, a wise man's heart discerns both time and judgment, when to do a thing and how to do a thing. And if there has ever been a generation in the history of Christendom that needs discernment, it is the 21st century church. It says in Ecclesiastes, it says, because every matter there is, for every matter, everything, there's a time, there's a judgment. Though the misery of man increases greatly, and it increases greatly because they do not any longer discern both time and judgment, when to do a thing and how to do a thing. Proverbs 22:3, Solomon writes, he says, a prudent man foresees evil, hides himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is 1 Chronicles 12:32, where it says, and the men of Issachar, they had understanding of the times. They knew what was going on in their generation, and they knew what Israel was to do. Man, that is a need today like never, ever before. And the sons of Issachar, if you remember, they were the fewest numbers. There was 200 chiefs or whatever it was in David's incredible army. They were wise, wise spiritual leaders. And out of all the people on earth, would you say that the church of Jesus Christ, the living God and Savior of all man, wouldn't you say we should know what's happening? Do you think that we should have some kind of discernment and understand what's happening in the midst of the church? The Bible says in 1 John 5:13, I'm reading from another translation. John says, here's the reason, or my purpose in writing you is simply this, that you believe in God's Son and will know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you have eternal life. Now listen carefully. The reality and not the illusion. A very important word. The reality and not the illusion. Illusion defined as a noun is this. Something that deceives by producing a false or misleading impression of reality. Pulitzer Prize winner Chris Hedges says, a culture that cannot distinguish between reality and illusion dies. Let me say that one more time. A culture that cannot distinguish between reality, what is real, and illusion, what is not real, dies. We were once dead in trespasses and sins. Amen? Not anymore, but we used, before we were born again. And what did we do? We went after or went from one illusion of the world to the next, trying to find fulfillment in life. And then one day we came to Christ and we were made alive in Christ. And we found ourselves changed and different, and we found ourselves now living in a world that we didn't see the same way. We found us ourselves living in a world or a fantasy world filled with illusions. And we today live in a nation called America, I tell you, and a world that we live in that is literally a playground of illusions. Amen? And there's many false ways, there's many false paths, ideals, and values. The Bible says in Proverbs 14:18, foolish dreamers live in a world of illusions. But wise realists plant their feet on the ground, meaning they're on the rock in Christ. Let me read that again. Foolish dreamers live in a world of illusion. The 21st century American church, let me question, are we, the church, are we really able to discern between illusion and reality? I believe with all of my heart that the greatest task we have before us this summer, is to understand the times that we are living in Christendom. And to know what we need to do or what we ought to do. And you say, well, Bill, how are we going to do that? We're going to do that by asking ourselves, how far removed are we really from the reality of the Christian life? How far are we really removed from it? Now, Bill, listen, I'm saved and I need something that's going to get me through the week. You need the truth. You need reality. You don't need to live in an illusion. Listen, I'll tell you something. American Christians, I'm talking about America, not the world really, America. American Christians are literally, or have been, over and over and repeatedly shell-shocked, if you will. And bomb after bomb exploding in the news media, and so much of late. For example, the Washington Post just the other day had a major article, "The End of Casual Christianity." Talking about America, how Christendom is going down the drain. Pew Research, I just read their article a week ago. It says, is Christianity in America doomed? Another article from Pew Research, millennials leaving the church in droves. Did you know there's a new article out about the millennial generation? It calls them the most selfish generation in the history of mankind. Now, I'm not saying that about you. I'm saying what the article said. Another article said this, U.S. Christians decline sharply. American Christians today, we're not only being shell-shocked by the news media, but we also feel betrayed by America. And I don't need to bring up or mention something that happened so many years ago when prayer was taken out of school. I don't need to even mention that. We know that. I don't need to even mention that the number one killer in America and the number one killer in the world is not war, but it's aborted children, aborted babies. The number one killer in America is aborted babies. Since 1973, statistics says this, 1,931,000 babies have been aborted. This year already, nearly 500,000 children have been aborted in our nation. Even though the reality is this, God's word says in Psalm 127:3, truly children are a gift from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Christians feel betrayed because we need to wake up. The problem is that one of the reasons we feel so betrayed by our nation, the nation that's in God we trust, and I love America, and so do you, is that we feel that, well, we've been betrayed by Washington because they have passed law after law after law that is silencing Christians. Now, did you know 18 states have already passed the employment non-discrimination law? 18 states so far. April 2nd, 2015, listen. According to the legal experts, such laws have been used to punish or otherwise clamp down on Christians expressing their religious views in the workplace or work settings. A business owner in Washington State was ordered not to play the Christian radio station at his own business because it offended an employee. Listen, that is a fact. This is a truth. See, we love America. We pray for America. We thought America loved us. The truth of the matter is that it's only an illusion. Don't forget that next month in June, the Supreme Court, our Supreme Court of the land, the highest court of the land, they may make history in June if it rules that same-sex marriage, if they ban, is unconstitutional, where it has to be approved nationwide. That's the nation that we're living in right now. You know, also think about what just happened in Ireland. Ireland became the first nation on earth by referendum, meaning a nationwide vote, to pass, make it constitutional right for same-sex marriage. This is the world that we're living in today. The Sunday before last, I was finishing up, I guess it was Luke. And I'd mentioned something. It was not in a caustic way. It wasn't rude or because I care for people that are lost. Amen. I love everyone. I want everyone saved. Your sin is your sin, man. Jesus wants to save you from your sin. Okay. And I had mentioned, oh, I just used the word same-sex marriage. I said, you know, we've got to be praying, or whatever I said in my sermon. Well, I was told after the service by an usher that I saw a couple get up and walk out. And he said, do you know why they walked out? Because he said, no. I said, I don't know why at all. Were they sick, or they go get their child or something? He said, no. He said, they walked out, Bill, because they were offended in you. I said, they were? What did I say? He said, you were calling same-sex marriage a sin. And I said, were they believers? They were. He said, yeah, they were believers. And he said, make sure you tell Bill we're pro-gay. And I'm going, okay, all right. Now I'm going to ask you a question. This is the reality of where we're in right now. And America doesn't want to face up. American Christians don't want to face up to the true reality. They want to live in the illusion of the day because it makes them feel good. The reality is this. What do believers really want? Do they want illusion or do they want reality? It says in Isaiah 30 verse 10, it says, you who say to the seers, the prophets, they're talking about Judah now. It says, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not to us what is right. Prophesy not to us what is right. Speak to us smooth things. Listen carefully. Prophesy to us illusions. That's exactly what is happening in our nation, in the church. Many today, are we becoming like Israel of old? In other words, where we're saying American Christians no longer want to hear the supernatural word of God, the living word of God. No, or do we want to say, no, listen, I don't agree with this. I'm going to go find a church that's in agreement with me. Well, I want to be in agreement with God. Are we saying that we don't want to hear what is right today? Or are we saying, no, I want my illusion that everything's going to be perfect in our life, that we're never going to have persecution, we're never going to have tribulation, we're never going to have problems? No, is that true? No, it's not true. That is an illusion that you hear every day in the church in America. First, America believed back in the 60s, remember when everything started falling apart, that they believed that marriage was, say, it was optional, okay? You just will live together or whatever. And then after that, they went from being optional, say, well, marriage was just, it's disposable. And then in any time in the history of the world, marriage has been redefined in a nation that was founded under God. And I look at these things and I say, oh, Lord, marriage is the oldest God foundation in history. Amen. It's the oldest God foundation in history. Psalm 11:3 says, if the foundations, plural, if they be destroyed, if they're removed from our nation, removed from the church, what can the righteous do? Now, I don't want you to think about the things I'm about to say that I don't love my country. I love America. I served in the military for this nation. You know what I mean? And I'm proud of that. And I would never want to be any place else. But may I tell you that that was the old America. Do you understand? In other words, we live in a nation now that, well, it's called America, but the old America is gone. And the new America has become a nation of illusions. You see, the old America believed in, literally, not perfectly, but at least they believed in absolutes. They believed in what was right and what was wrong. And now everything fluctuates according to man's desires and man's feelings. If we don't like it, we'll make it a law. Amen? We'll make sin legitimate. Whatever we want to do. The new America no longer believes in Proverbs 14:34. Righteousness exalts a nation. It raises a nation to honor. But sin is a reproach to any people. The new America that we are living in right now, this new America, the moral decay in our nation is not an illusion. Amen? Now you with me? Say, Bill, can you get to the Word of God? This is my introduction to this series. Now, next Sunday, we'll be digging into the Word in a greater way. But I have to define illusion so you have it in your heart and in your spirit. Amen? Now, the new America's moral decay is not an illusion. Listen to these facts. The new America produces 13,000 porn films every year. And most of them are made down in the San Fernando Valley in California. Over 40 million Americans are regular visitors to porn sites on the internet. And there's an estimated 4.2 million internet sites. Listen to this. DirecTV alone, all by themselves, leave out all the other channels. DirecTV alone sends 40 million pornographic streams into American homes every month. Every month. 68% of American young men, 18 to 30, and 42% of young women, 18 to 30, view porn at least once a month. And the same statistic is true for the church. You say, Bill, you are the most depressing pastor I've ever been around in my life. Do you want reality or do you want illusion? Reality. I want reality. Just think about the horrible things that those poor people go through when they make those horrible films. Listen, the illusion of enjoyment, the illusion of love, that's not true. That's not intimacy. A culture that cannot distinguish between reality and illusion, they die. They die. That's exactly where we are at. I thank God for America's military, and I pray every day. I have my first prayer on my Bible printout, my prayer printout. The first people I pray for every morning are our military. And there are certain people here, you know, Gabe and the rest of them that I pray for, Micah, all the rest of them. And I had, like the other day, I added another one, Brian and so forth, who's in now overseas in the Middle East. And I have a list there. I pray every morning for them. And I thank God for our military. And I thank God that we're a strong military. Amen. We have America's military. We have 761 outposts, if you will, or military bases around the globe. And we spend more money than all the militaries on earth combined to support that effort. In 2010, the U.S. budget for the military, if you will, defense budget, was $700 billion. That's the number one budget in the world, okay? The only people that are even close to us would be, number two would be China. They spend $65 billion on their military. We just ended talking about illusion and reality. We just ended the longest war in our history, and so many precious men and women died giving up their lives for our nation. Since 2003, we have spent $819 billion to fund the war in Iraq. Do you know what that cost us now? It cost us, American taxpayers, $365,000 every hour. That's the truth. Most people don't even think about these things. Do you understand? We're so far removed. We're so tied up in our own life or watching sports. Nothing wrong with watching sports, but you understand. We don't want to know the reality. ISIS. We just spent $25 billion training the Iraqi soldiers to fight. I don't need to even say anything about that. Millions was absolutely stolen during that procedure. Not only that, President Obama, which ISIS needs to be gotten rid of, believe me. But he's asking now, we've already spent $5 billion for this year. Next year, he's asking for $5.3 billion to fight against ISIS. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 9:18, finally got the word there, okay? Wisdom is better than weapons of war. One translation says, wisdom is better than warheads, meaning the missiles, amen? A culture that cannot distinguish between reality, what is real, and illusion, what is false, dies. As of January 6th, 2015, the U.S. federal deficit was $18 trillion. $18 trillion. Did you know, and you say, well, Bill, how much is $18 trillion? I don't even have a clue. I don't even know how many zeros that would be, okay? But I do know this. It says, if you spent $1 million every day since Jesus our Lord was born, you would have not spent $1 trillion by now. Think about that. Historian Charles Mayer says this about America. He says, America has gone from an empire of production to an empire of consumption. We're living in a false reality, and so many Christians are doing the same thing, in an illusion. The average household debt in America as of February 2015 is $884 billion. The average household credit card debt of individuals as of May 2015 is $15,600. Would you say that maybe, not being critical, we've all suffered the dilemma of a credit card, haven't we? Getting in trouble with it. You know, they just send them out. The moment you go to college, man, they flood you with as many as you can. And kids in college say, well, man, let's eat. Let's do this. And then before you know it, it's hello. But we're not, most Americans and most Christians, and I say this in loving manner, not as a beating anybody up, but we don't live within our means. You know, like when I retire, when God says, Bill, you're through here, you know, you can ask the board. I told the board, I said, I want to put one thing in the bylaws right now. I said, please don't ever put this church in debt. Don't ever do that to this church unless it has to be a unanimous decision and it has to be the Holy Spirit, you know, beyond a shadow of a doubt. We're debt free. We're going to stay debt free. And when we build our sanctuary, it's going to be paid in cash. Amen. Yeah, because why? I'm not going to give money to the banks. I'm not going to give God. You want me to take your tithes and say, well, you know, you're going to have to pay a little. Your tithes goes to the interest of the bank. I'm going to give God's money to the bank. Amen? Well, three of you agree. If not, let's just go take out a loan. Listen, the American church is caught up in illusion. It's caught up in the illusion of our nation. You know, the American dream, you know, you heard that sarcastic thing. Hey man, how you doing today? I'm living the dream, you know? Yeah. Well, you know what? Article after article, recent articles, not a years ago. I'm talking about now, the here and now. Here's what they're saying. They're saying, whoa, maybe the salt has lost its savor. They say in these articles that we're hearing repeatedly all over the nation, it says the American church sounds like, it looks to me like the light of the world is dimming. They're saying that that city that sits upon a hill has turned off its lights. Are they right? Are they right? Is that what's happening in our nation? Article after article, Christendom is on decline in America. They're leaving it in droves. It's decreasing for the first time in the nation's history. We're a minority. Are they right? You know, we Christians, for the most part, live good lives. We want to live a good life, don't we? For the most part, you know, I mean, we have a good life here in this nation. And you know what? Praise God, we drive good cars. We live in a pretty good home. You know, some of us have pretty good jobs, and I thank God for that. And you know, we're good church members. We're going to go to church. But you know what? We good church members that have the same impact on the lost world before we were saved are producing the same thing in the American church right now. We're not making an impact because we're not winning anybody to Christ. We're not making an impact at all, whether we were lost or now that we're not. That's the truth, and that is the reality. You say, well, Bill, look at all these mega churches. All that is transfer growth. That's all. We're declining. It's not that we don't believe in God. It's that probably, I think that, like I said earlier, Jesus is not why we come to church. I'm coming to church because of me, man. I'm coming to worship, but it better be my kind of, it better be this kind or whatever. I dictate. I want traditional. I want the hip hop, or I want this. What kind of people are we? You say, Bill, did you take too many Sudafed this morning? No. I'm just telling you the truth. I wonder if we've left our first love. I wonder, has the church become like the new America and we're just resting on the illusions of our past glories, yesterday's illusions? The purpose of this summer series is to understand the times and discern between illusion and reality. And we're going to ask ourselves again that question, just how far are we removed from the reality of the Christian life? And we're going to step out of illusion. And we're going to step right into the reality that belongs to every blood-bought believer. Habakkuk says in 3:2, it says, O Lord, revive your work, not our work, your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. Do it quickly, Lord. Habakkuk was praying there because, you know, all the armies were coming, remember? It was horrible. He says, Lord, we need you back. We need you to come back again. We need a renewed involvement of God in our lives. That's what Habakkuk was praying. He says, everything is falling apart. The armies are coming to crush us. Everything, Lord, we need you to be back with us again. And you know what? That's what we need to do. As he prayed that, we must be praying, desperately praying the same thing, saying, hey, Lord, you know what? We want to step out of the illusion now. We want to step out about, it's not about what I want, it's about what you want. We want to step back into God's reality, the reality that Jesus purchased for us. We need to say, Holy Spirit, come back to the church. You know something? We have everything here. We have every man-made resource we could even ask for. We don't need the illusion of more. Amen? We gotta have this. We gotta have that. If they don't have this program, that program, find that program in the Bible. You understand me? Where's this at? Where's this? We have create this after this after this after this. Why? Maybe there's a need. Maybe it was God. Maybe it's not God. I mean, what if we stripped right now everything? No lighting. Maybe not even air conditioning. We had to open the doors. When I used to go to Pentecostal churches, you know, sometimes we were so poor back then, you know, that we literally opened the doors at night to let the breeze in. They had windows back then. Remember the wind? On those frame homes, we'd raise up those windows and let come on in, man. We don't need more. What if we stripped everything right now? No worship, nothing. We're going to have a 3-hour Bible study. Oh my gosh. Would you think people would leave? They would shoot me. People leave the church for crazy reasons. You know, when I had a person leave the church just a couple weeks ago, you know why? He was asked not to park in 2 parking places. We should be desperately seeking the greatest power in the universe. That's the Holy Spirit. We don't need resources. We need Him. Do you understand? I'm telling you, listen, the church, we don't have to have money, and thank God we do have money.
We don't have to have talent. We don't have to have any of those things. What we need are people that say, I can't do anything. I just need you. I need your power. I need your strength. I want to walk in you and no one else. That's what we need. That's the only way we can break the illusion that's going on. It says in John 6:33, Jesus said, it's a spirit who gives life. The flesh, our strength, our wisdom, our knowledge profits nothing. Absolutely nothing. Romans 18:13 tells us it's only by the spirit that we put to death the deeds of the flesh. In other words, we can't conquer sin. We can't have victory over sin without the power of the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:14 says, as many as are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. Jude 20 says, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith. How? Praying in the Holy Spirit. That is what is needed. That is what we must destroy and break the illusion that is in the church. And it's in our church too. I want reality. Bill, you're saying you want the old days. I'll take the old days if the Holy Spirit's there. You know, Psalm 85:6 says, will you not revive us again? Us, all of us. Me, every one of us. Lord, will you not revive us again? And the reason it says is that your people may rejoice in you. They rejoice in you. Where everything changes. Where we get back to what is true. What is true? Only a believer can be revived. Now listen. Many of us need to be brought back to life. Life that is found outside of Christ is an illusion. It's not real. I look at the church today and the hurting and the things that are happening in our families. And you know what? There's that illusion. I'm going to be speaking about some of these things, but the illusion of togetherness. Oh, you know, we walk in and we're smiling and everybody would maybe look at you and say, boy, there's a happy couple and everything is going great in their lives and they're so godly. But the truth is it's only an illusion, because when you get home, it's a house that is not filled with love. It's a place that is just angry. It's a place that is bitter. And you know what? There's that illusion that we're one heart and we are one mind and we are of one spirit, but that meaning that togetherness, but there's so much division. Oh, how we need to destroy that illusion. The illusion of, hey, I'm a servant of God. No, the majority of the church is a spectator, not a participator. Oh, how can we break that illusion and walk into the true reality of it? How about the illusion of Luke 9:23? Jesus said, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Give up every right to your life. I'm the master of your life. Well, do we want the illusion of that, or do we want the reality of that? You see, that's a question we have to ask ourselves. The true cost of discipleship. Not talking about being saved. I'm talking about discipleship. That's what this summer series is going to be about. We're going to remove illusion and step into reality. Now, are you at Psalm 86 yet? Let's look at verse 1 of this prayer of David. David says something to the Lord. Look what he says. Bow down your ear. Is that beautiful? David is saying, he's saying to God, he says, oh God, would you come close to me? Come down to where I'm at. Look at the reality that I'm living in, oh God, and hear me. I'm poor, I'm needy, preserve my life, for I am holy. Lord, I'm set apart for you. I want to be dedicated to you. He said, you're my God. Save your servant who trusts in you. Be merciful to me, O Lord, For I cry to you all day long, and that is what is needed now more than ever. Oh God, come and wake us up. Step into this illusion and bring us back into the true reality of Christendom. Amen? I look at that and he says, oh God, you are my God. Save your servant who trusted you. Be merciful, O Lord. For I cry to you all day long, rejoice in the soul. For Lord, to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. We must be bold like David's request, saying, Lord, we don't want illusion. We want reality. And the reason that we can go to our Father, which art in heaven like this, is because of verse 5. For you, Lord, are what? God is good. You heard me say that every time I've entered this pulpit, all the days of that I've ever preached, that I've always said that. God is good. And there is not one second that God is not doing good to you and good to me. He says, oh Lord, you're good, but you're also something else. You are ready to forgive. He is immediately ready. This very moment he's ready. Instantly, there's not a second on the clock he was, I can't forgive you. He's ready to revive his church if they're only willing to step out of the illusion of Christianity into the reality of Christianity. It's not about a building. It's about a people. Amen. That's, you know, there's a tradition we will never be able to break until Christ comes. And that is this. Where are you going? I'm going to church. No, you can't go to church. You are the church. Amen. This is a building that has been dedicated to God, owned by God. But this building is not, it's not holy. You're holy. You're called. This building's not going to save people unless you bring people into it. Amen? No. No. There's not one second that God's not ready to forgive. And not only that, and abundant in mercy to all those who pray to him, who call upon him. And his mercy will touch our deepest need, but we have to call upon him. Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer. Attend to the voice of my begging. That's what supplication. I'm begging you, Lord. In the day of my trouble, I trusted my illusion. No, I'll call upon you, for you're going to answer me. Verse 10, for you are great. You do wondrous things. You alone are God. Oh God, remove the false illusions. The things that look like they're real, but they're not real. And bring us into the true reality that is found literally in the book of Acts. Amen? Where there's signs and wonders and miracles, and God is moving among his people remember, fishermen and farmers and tax collectors and uneducated people. They weren't kings and priests and emperors and so forth. Just people that were available. People available for God. 1 John 5:13 says this. John tells why he's writing. He says, I'm writing to you who believe in God's Son and will know beyond a shadow of doubt you have eternal life, the reality and not the illusion. Have you trusted Christ? Do you know Christ? Or do you just have an illusion? 1 John 5:12 says, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. If you have Jesus and I have Jesus, we have the real thing. Amen? We have the true reality. And you know what? If you don't have the Lord, like people that are outside the church, those that are lost, good people, but they're lost. If you don't have Jesus, you don't have life. You only have an illusion of life. See, because you're spiritually dead, separated from God, dead in trespasses and sins. And you know what? You live in a world, if you don't know the Lord, you're living in a world full of illusions that say all roads lead to God. No, they don't. There's only one mediator between man and God, the man Christ Jesus. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. And then you have to stay on the narrow road that, and I'll keep you there, that leads to life. There's only two roads a person could be on. The road to destruction or the road to life. 1 John 5:20, I'm going to wrap it up, so hold on. And we know that the Son of God has come. He's come into this world, Emmanuel, God with us, and has given us understanding. You see, we should be wise in our own generation like the sons of Issachar. We should have understanding because we have the Holy Spirit living in us and we have the mind of Christ. The church is a depository of the mind of Christ. We know the will of God because we have the Word of God. Amen? He says, oh, he's given us an understanding. We may know him who is true, the true thing, the true reality. And we are in him who is true, in his Son, Christ Jesus. This is the true God and eternal life. Fact, we know Jesus. He has opened our heart and he saved us. We have the real reality. And we've turned the church into some illusion because of fleshly desires and things that people want instead of maybe the things that the God wants. May is over. June is here. Summer is approaching. This church, this summer, we are stepping out of illusions. We're going to discover what they are. And we are going to step in to the true reality of the Christian life in a greater and deeper way. A people, a culture, a nation, the church, that cannot distinguish between reality and illusion dies. Father, we thank you for this introductory message on defining illusion. I trust only you. I trust no one and nothing else. Lord God, move upon this church, not according to my will and not according to their will, but according to your will, let it be done in this place. And move now in a freshness and a newness, O God, pushing us out of the illusion into the true reality of the Christian life. We thank you, Lord. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name. And the church says, amen.